Amelia.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm exhausted, and it's only Tuesday.
That means you're working.
Working really, really, really hard. Today I had two client meetings and a lunch with a prospect, and we just got word of a fantastic and unbelievable private equity deal. So I registered a couple of people for that, including a prospect. And that might be a big, if they do it, it'll be a big ticket, for multi-million. So, I'm actually glad I'm here today, because that's the kind of email where you really want to be in the office, otherwise it's harder to get stuff done. So, I'm really tired, really, really exhausted. I have a 5 o'clock call on that particular deal with a client to give him some background, but that's all. The rest of the day looks good. Things have been good. I took a couple days off last week to go on a short cruise with my husband, but it was like one of those cruises to nowhere where when the cruise line has a new ship, they do an inaugural cruise. And the people that are on the cruise are basically friends of the company, the cruise line, and all those people are really wealthy and travel agents who we don't really see. So I got two lunches out of that with the wives of at least centimillionaires. One of them is a billionaire, although he's in real estate. But, you know, it's one of those things, like, I've seen them for a couple of years now, I guess. Yeah. And just said, hey, I really want to have lunch with you. not with any direct intention of prospecting them, but with the intention of just developing the relationship. And, you know, who knows what it could lead into. But the two women are extremely well connected, so I think it's a good use of time. And that's the kind of thing that I really want to, that's the kind of thing I should be doing and I am doing. So I'm happy about that. So it was actually really good in terms of taking 3 days off, but getting a lot out of it.
Good, great.
Yeah, so I'm back in it. I'm back in the making phone calls and following up with people and filling the calendar. And it feels really, really good. And then I have not heard back from my whale, my German whale. I'm not that worried about it. Nothing I can do. So I'll probably reach out to him in like a week or so. And then I also have not formalized the date. I've not heard back from the tax attorney who's introducing me to the rich Venezuelan family for the daughter. It was tax season, and then he was teaching a course, and then last week he was sick. So that's a call I'm going to make tomorrow, just to check in. In fact, I'm writing it down now. but I feel like I'm back in it. I really do. I had my best month ever, I think. So my revenues have shot up. And the pipeline is getting full again. It feels good. And I've got this at least $12 million. They say they're going to do 12, maybe more, maybe as much as 18 family that I think they say August, but I think it's going to be September. So it's looking, I'm happy. I feel like the effort is paying off. So that's my update.
Good.
What are your thoughts?
How's your enthusiastically endorsed this going?
Not.
The daughter.
Not. I haven't been able to talk to the accountant.
Okay. Forget about him. You still need to build the group.
Okay. Okay, EE group. Okay, so I'm going to do this.
Yeah, the ED group for billionaire daughters.
Yeah, okay. I'll put that on my to-do list.
See, it's a great idea, even if you don't get her.
Yeah.
You don't have the group. And then people know you have the group.
Okay,
to-do. Yeah. It seems like anybody on that list would be uniquely positioned to be a client anyway.
Exactly.
I think that.
I have had developments in terms of these two niches that I'm targeting. We set a date. We set a date, my business partner and I, for our first LGBTQ event, which we're calling Cocktails and Conversations. I approached an art gallery that I know is very high end, and the space is beautiful. And this guy is the most well-regarded, well-known, biggest art gallery for Cuban art. He's located near us as well. And so I went and saw the place, and it's perfect. And I talked to him, and not only did he give us the space and the bartender wine and top-shelf alcohol as a courtesy, but he's going to invite 5 couples he knows who are clients, who he thinks would be, yeah. I was like, oh, we just hit the jackpot, because he sells really expensive stuff, so he's got a great clientele. And in fact, he would like it to be a regular thing at his art gallery. So, I know, phenomenal. So we've been working really hard to get all the approvals we need, as you know, tons of approvals and stuff. So that's coming together really nicely. The goal is to send the invitation out at the end of this week. So it's on the 5th. We also have involved the Miami-Dade Gay & Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. So we now have access to their list. We don't need the whole list, because we're going to cap it at about 40, just because that's a comfortable number of people for the space. The gallery owner says that he can do 60, but I don't want people to be uncomfortable. Plus, we're going to have about 10 people from Morgan Stanley. Kevin McCarty, who's our complex manager, will be coming, as will Nico and some other people. So it's a huge event. It's a huge event, and we're going to pull it off with class and panache and professionalism. So I'm excited about that.
So tell me again what your theme is for that.
So we're calling it Cocktails and Conversation. And the conversation aspect is going to be about wealth planning for gay and lesbian couples. And some of that is specific to, you know, those types of couples, because there's some estate planning things that they can do. So we're just going to talk for about 15 minutes, because people will be standing, and we want people to converse, and we want people to network. So we're just going to do an overview. And actually, it's not going to be Kat and I, my business partner. We have 2 wealth planners who are fantastic presenters, and so they're going to do it. And then in the goodie bag, we're going to put a checklist with our contact information so people can follow up. So we're going to start the event at about 5:30. We're going to have half-hour cocktails, and we're going to have hors d'oeuvres. And I mean good hors d'oeuvres. It's like, you know, shrimp and stuff, so good stuff. And then at 6 o'clock, we're going to do a gallery tour provided by the gallery, and they have some great pieces. At 6:30, we'll start the presentation. And like I said, it's just going to be 15 minutes. And then we'll open it up for questions, and then another half hour of networking, mingling, follow-up. What do you think?
I don't want the boss managers to talk.
What's that?
I don't want the wealth managers to talk.
Well, no, they're the ones who are experts in the topic. Kat and I will get up and do the introduction. So all of the attendees will see us, on the stage or wherever it is. But I want them to see the talk. You want us to talk?
I do.
I see that.
I want you to present them as experts being here, and if they have questions, to ask them in detail. But you're the presenter.
Okay. That's something that we can, when we do the introduction, we can position ourselves differently than them. Because they're not allowed to even put business, because they're not allowed to give out. Well, they can give out, I think. Actually, maybe they can't. There's very strict rules about them. They can't give out business cards, so it'll be our business cards, so people will follow up with us. They're not competition for us. They actually work for us.
I understand, but see, here's the point. You only have 15 minutes, okay?
Yes.
You don't have time to really do anything but maybe create some interest.
Yes, that's exactly the goal.
All right, so I want you to be... Everybody admires people that get up and present.
Yeah.
If you present with authority, and you're considered an authority, you're considered you have credibility then. And then they want to do business with you. And
right.
They won't know who you are, and they won't want to do business with you. And you'll have, well, frankly, unfortunately, wasted your time. Unless you present.
Okay, let me think about that.
No, it takes courage and preparation.
Oh, I'm not, actually, I don't have any fear of doing the presentation. Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
Can I write that down? The LJDT. Let me see what we can do there.
Yeah, have them there and have them, you know, I mean, it's great, you know, they can introduce them.
Okay, let me think about how we can do this. Yeah, I get what you're saying. That makes sense.
They want to do business with whoever talks.
Yeah.
They want to know the star of the show.
Uh-huh.
And you're the star, they want to know.
Yeah.
They want to do business with you.
Yeah. Gotcha.
It's like coming to see Rob Knapp and Curtis Brown speaks.
I follow.
You didn't come to see Curtis Brown. You came to see Rob Knapp.
Yeah, came to see you. Okay. I'll figure that out. That's what I've got. That's what I've got. Later in the summer, we're going to do another one with the LGBTQ community. And then I think in the fall, we're going to do the women's one. We don't want to do them every month. That's too much. It's too much work. And the idea would be ideally to alternate, you know, so one every two months or one every 3 months.
I think it's great.
I think it's great. So.
Well, I would just tell you that the hottest topic in the market right now is
AI.
And
what are your thoughts about how to reach out to him, given that he hasn't responded to any of my emails? Like, can I email him and say, you know, the hottest thing in the market right now is AI, like the fund's up, you know, X percent since we talked, I'd really like to get you in it. What do you think about that?
Where are you? What are you doing? Like to talk? What's happening?
Yeah, I've done that.
What about you?
I bugged them Friday or Monday. I don't even remember now. Let me check my to-do list here. Check my to-do list because I wrote it down. Because that's how we do things now. Last Monday.
So yeah. my thoughts are for the LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm.
It's just have a little teaser on the blockchain.
LGBTQ teaser. Yeah, people are talking about that too.
It's conversations, right? So that's what the conversation. You know, everybody's talking about Bitcoin, blockchain, and we have new research report on it. Well, I'd just like to make some comments about how we see it, where it's going, the revolution, you know, the fourth industrial revolution, and artificial intelligence, and robotics, and we think it's big.
Agreed. And this is one way to do it. I like that.
Sure.
Yeah, that can be a topic for the future, absolutely.
But it can be the topic for this. It can be a teaser. It can be,
yeah.
Oh, by the way, that's our next topic. It's going to be on this.
Yeah. Even if we might change it up.
Right. But it's like, you know, come next time, this is our topic, and oh, that's fun. Everybody's like, oh, God, I can't wait to see the next one.
Exactly. We need to end with that. Yeah. Oh, a teaser for next. Yeah, I agree.
That's good. That's good. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I like that. That's really good. At the end of this week, I'm not happy about it, but I think it's probably good visibility and perhaps good internal networking. That there's like what they call a growth summit. It's an invitation only Morgan Stanley 2-day. "Quote unquote seminar for fast growing essays." So I'd rather be in the office making phone calls, but I asked Nico and he said I should go. So I feel like it's one of those things you kind of, if you're invited, you should go. I'll make sure.
It's quite a compliment.
It is. I know. I'm kind of, to be very honest, I think it's about wrong. The recognition is kind of nice.
Yeah.
The recognition is kind of nice.
Right. It's also, yeah.
And I think that the next 6 months are going to be really, really good. I like that I'm back on track and I'm doing like calls and I'm really enjoying that. I gotta be honest. It feels good. That's what I should be doing.
Try to keep up while you're out for 2 days.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. Yeah, because I can make phone calls from wherever.
Right. Don't completely take 2 days vacation. Try and make it.
Don't
keep the momentum that way.
Okay, I will do that. In fact, I'm going to put some names down to reach out while I'm there because it's not going to, I'll have some downtime.
You know what? It's actually kind of cool. You know, right. Call from there. Well, I'm out of the office. I'm at a conference for fast growing financial advisors, top FAs. Can you call on at this conference for fast growing FAs?
I like that. Yeah.
Right.
They seem important.
Right.
And I'm calling them while I'm there, so they're going to
see it. Right. Which makes them feel important, right?
Yeah. All right. That's a suggestion.
How much have you invested in the robotics?
Me, personally, nothing yet.
How much have you invested for your clients?
Nothing yet. Actually, I want to start adding that in. It's a good time.
To own it. You know, you gotta own it to sell it. Okay, so you should buy it yourself.
Okay.
Personally. Buy it yourself.
Yeah, of course.
And then buy it for clients. And you know what you're buying. You know what to know it.
Yeah.
And then you own it.
Okay.
And then you'll believe in it more.
Exactly. Exactly. I'll be more passionate about it, and that'll come through when I talk about it.
And just know, to teach everybody that this is going to be one of the most volatile areas, just like biotech was. You want to buy it when it gets cheap. You want to do a lot of dollar cost averaging.
Right.
Like I own a lot, but I've got orders in below the market all over the place. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm ready for any sell-off. I'll take advantage of it. I mean, Blue Prism is one that Merrill happens to have a very strong position on and opinion on. And it's crazy, volatile. I mean, it goes all over the place with no volume. And the 400 shares moves it. So these are the kind of, I think that's one of the very few that have an opinion on. But, get your favorite group of stocks plus your ETF. And there's another one, ROBT, which my advisor likes better. There's Robo, ROBO, there's BOTZ, BOTZ, and then there's ROBT. And he likes the ROBT better. I don't know why, but he just told me that. So we bought some of that too. I own all three.
Good. Alright.
So we can keep finding this list too.
Yeah, I gotta work on that. I'm gonna as we go into summer, I'm gonna refine my portfolio allocations a little bit. I'm going to add in some preferreds, some of these tech ETFs, some managed futures to bring the beta down because we're not overly positive going into the rest of the year.
Really interesting, yeah.
Well, I want to protect some downside. And also on some of the big clients, I'll do, not yet, but some... call writing strategies provide a little buffer, and I will be proactive in calling people to tell them that we're going to do this, because I think that makes people happy to think that, you know, I'm thinking of their portfolios if I am all day every day, but if I don't communicate it to them, then they don't know.
Okay, so I'm short the SLP. Okay. By the way, do you know what it is, XLT?
One second.
It's like the aristocrats of dividend-paying stocks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like high dividend-paying stocks. That's a good thing to be short. Because if you're going to own anything dividend-paying, you want it to be dividend growers, not high dividend payers. Those guys are not going to do well.
Well, I don't think so. I agree with you. I might be wrong. You know, there might be reorgs or something going on. But if you've owned, you know, you've owned Procter & Gamble and Colgate and they're very high PEs and they're not growing very much. And their performance has been very disappointing.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of people that are, you know, a lot of FAs that sell their clients those stocks.
Those are easy to understand.
Right. Easy to understand. Great place to hide. Get paid 3.5%. You know, AT&T, look at that. I mean, paying 6%. I mean, that's an easy sell. But you know what? There's something wrong. There's something going on.
And yeah.
My attitude is...
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Right. So what I believe is that there's two economies emerging here.
Two economies?
The old and the new.
The old and the new. Well, it's, we want to be in the new economy because that's what's going to grow.
And one of the things you can talk about with clients is,
yeah,
is this idea that is your advisor really managing to the old economy or to the new economy?
Yeah, that I found. That's something I can bring up in my monthly calls.
Right. And the reality is a lot of FAs are stuck in the old economy.
Oh, yeah.
They're not willing to own anything in the new economy.
They're too scared.
They're severely underperforming the market.
And they will in the future.
Right. So they own high dividend paying REITs. They own utilities. They own oil, some of the LP, whatever those limited partnership things are.
For oil.
And I'm like, I don't want any of that, okay? Because you've got a rising interest rate environment, and you've got a new economy that's displacing the old, right? And the old is not going to grow. And the new is going to grow a lot.
Yeah, and so although
it looks like to most people we're the ones taking all the risk. And in reality, I think they're the ones taking all the risk.
I like that perspective.
And if you want to protect yourself, don't reach for yield.
No.
Don't buy high yield. Keep cash. Right? So keep cash. If you want something, keep cash. But don't buy high yield and the crap. Okay?
Alright, gotcha. I like it.
Alright, so it's been a good, there's a fund called the New Economy Fund. By American Funds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a top performer forever. The basic thing is the economy is always changing.
Yeah.
And we're going to be in the new economy.
Right.
Okay? Whatever that happens to be.
Yeah, and they're smart there. They have good analysts.
Right.
So just take a peek at that.
Look at that and then think, are these the companies I want to own? And look how they've done for a track record. It's amazing. And, at worst, you could own the fund.
Exactly. Not terrible.
Not terrible, right. And I've owned it since 1972.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's called New Perspective Fund then.
Yeah, they change them around for marketing purposes every once in a while.
Right. But it's basically the new economy.
Yeah,
there's
a new economy, large cap growth.
Right.
Okay. A-N-E-F-X. Let's see. New economy. C-E-S-F. What's an F share? I have no idea what's an F share. Super. New economy. F gold, 4-star. Get to the good stuff. Let's get to the risk. It says large cap though. 12.3, 1.9, 105, 76. 12 standard deviation. 1.9. Oh, it's got a gray alpha. 3-year beta. 105. It's not as risky as I thought it would be. Alright, I'll go look at that more in depth.
Yeah, too. And I'd be interested in your opinion, to be honest with you. And I don't share this with everybody, as you know. I can't. I tell you how I think. And
That's like that. There's not enough. The one complaint I have, and I'm trying to figure out a way to fix it, is there's not enough of this kind of discussion between the FAs in this office. Like, people don't get together and just talk investments.
Well, most people don't do anything but asset allocate. They're going to index themselves out of business.
Yeah.
Because in reality, I would really, truly not need somebody if all I did was buy the index.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If I buy the
S&P 500, basically I've given up as far as I'm concerned. So as an FA, you buy the S&P 500, you've basically given up. Or your ability to add value.
I was like, what value do you add if that's what you do?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I use managers, and I'm very particular about my managers. I have very high standards in terms of their historical records. I look at the returns, but I care more about the risks they take, and of course, like, the one measure that I use that nobody here understands is Sharpe.
Yep.
And, you know, they might underperform for a month or a quarter or even sometimes a year. I love when they're underperforming and I buy into them. But over time, these are really good managers. And I think that makes a big difference. I know it makes a big difference. So I firmly believe in that strategy. Firmly, especially now. I think we're coming into a period where active managers are going to start to see outperformance again, which means you have to be very careful about who you use.
Right. So I think I absolutely believe that. And if I'm right, and this XLP underperforms as much as I think it's going to, there's your beginning of your separation.
Yep. Yeah, you're doing well. It's already quarter to date down 6% and year to date down over 13%.
There you go. Yeah, I know.
You're already. Yeah, you're already in the black. Depending on when you bought it.
Right. So anyway, it's a hedge. You know, it's a hedge. But I think it's a very kind of different kind of hedge, you know. So it's fun for me. I need to feel good when the market's going down. I like that.
Yeah, me too. That's an unusual thing to say, but I totally understand the context.
And for most clients, you don't have to sell that much of it, you know.
No.
You have a few coverage options, and you have a few. Two short positions and a one hedge fund manager and all the rest is long, and they think you're a genius, you know.
Right.
Because you're doing something.
Exactly. You know? Are you using any managed features as a hedge?
No. I keep it pretty simple.
I didn't use those. I sold them. I find it hard to explain to clients. And they're rather expensive, but...
Right.
Yeah, so I'm looking at all those options. I like what you said. It also gives me something good to research. Use my brain.
Right. The other thing is to capture losses when you get them.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, I did that and went through and sold all my losses when the market sold off a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
I did tax loss.
Yeah.
And that's where I got the idea of the XLP. Because all my losses,
down?
All I saw was losses. I fired the money manager because they never sold these stocks.
Huh.
They just kept going down. And all my losses were in these stocks. And I was like, what the hell? Why would we keep stocks that going down? What is this? You know?
Yeah. And then you did fundamental research and decided that you thought they would continue to go down.
I said the PEs are stupid. I mean, Apple is selling cheaper than all of these, okay? And these are all the old economy that can't keep up with Amazon and the rest of the world. And so why would I keep these stocks? So I sold them all, and I sold the manager, and I basically put the money into areas that I thought were growing. And I'm very happy, by the way. And then I sold that stock, and I sold that XLP. I saw it in Barron's, and I said, this is all the stocks I hate. I'm selling it. So
that's a good way to use an ETF.
Right. It's going to move a little bit, but I sold it short. Anyway, it was I said to my FS, and you know, if this is the moment that the whole market turns around and everything goes north, and my short doesn't work, this will have been working.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to make your short an outsized position.
Right. I said, I'll sacrifice myself for the cause of getting the market to go up. But meanwhile, my stocks have gone up and it's gone down. So you can create your own little hedge fund, which is kind of fun.
It is fun.
So, anyway. So if one man's opinion, you know, take it for what it's worth. But I really think that this is a revolution, and I think it's big, and I think you can have people come on board. Because look at you. You haven't done anything really yet. And I would say 95% of your FAs in there have done nothing yet.
Nothing.
Right?
Nothing. So you put a fire under me to get going almost.
Right. So there's a whole world that hasn't even, you know, turned on the spigot at all, and then turn it on a little. So there's a lot of people, a lot of buyers out there that aren't taking advantage of this new world. Because I think it's temporary, but it's not. It's permanent.
It is permanent.
Good articles in the Wall Street Journal recently, today, and recently on robotics, and one on why it's not going to displace all these human beings in the world.
So I have that answer, because it shifts the skills of the workforce to higher skilled jobs, higher paying, right?
Right. And they've actually increased the employment rather than decreased.
Yeah.
Because they can produce more.
Right.
BMW is double the amount of cars that they could produce out of Sparta. Is it Spartan, South Carolina? Yeah, where they produce them.
Spartanburg.
They've doubled Spartanburg, right. And they doubled their workforce and doubled the number of cars because they're much more efficient. Effective. The people can focus on quality control, not on fitting the widget into the hole. So it's smart. Everybody's happier. And they retrain. In Germany, they really spend a lot of money on retraining their people. So they don't lay them off. Their productivity goes way up with the use of robotics. So it's a win-win. So I'm really excited. You can tell. Anyway. So do more research.
Yeah, I need some research here.
You gotta fall in love with this idea. A little bit. Okay? Because
I don't fall in love with many investment ideas. I try to not be emotional. I try to be very rational about things. And to me, there's a rational argument to do this, so.
Right. But there has to be a little passion behind it.
Yeah. Okay. That I see. Okay. I see what you're saying.
We'll call it not falling in love. We'll call it passion.
Yeah,
and passion means. Yeah, remember that five-step process of curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm.
Yeah.
You got to get to the enthusiastic stage. Curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. And there's nothing wrong with enthusiasm. It makes your life much better. You'll be a happier person as an enthusiastic person. It doesn't mean you're irrational. It doesn't mean that you're not logical. It means you've done your homework and now you're enthusiastic about the idea.
Right, and I'm knowledgeable about the idea.
That's right. You've already gone past the knowledge idea, okay? So, and the more, you know, people thought I was crazy buying NVIDIA. You know, Rob, it's way up. How can you buy that? I said, well, you watch. They're at the heart of everything that's going on. So, have fun.
I will. Until next time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye, Amelia.
Okay.